It's time for JT the Brick.
The main reason why I have the back of the Raider Nation, the main reason why I do this for a living, because of the global disrespect this franchise gets from people who are wrong more than they're right on the radio. The lazy national narrative is the Raiders don't have a quarterback. I mean, really? Yeah, well, the Raiders are one of the worst teams in football. I said, worst teams? They won 8 games.
JT the Brick.
That's why I love you in the Raider Nation. You don't like anything. You're hardcore Raider Nation. You don't like anything until it's proven to you. There are Raider fans in Vegas. There are Raider fans globally. There are season ticket holders. Okay? There's a whole bunch of different Raider fans, but we're all one nation. One nation, the Raider Nation. And we're all on the same page. We want to win. That is another unbelievable article on anti-Raider propaganda. The roster's better than last year.
And now,
Big Boy Radio.
Here's JT the Brick.
All right, everybody, hour number two of the show. Tonight, my big, big, big gig is on the field for this open practice. There's going to be between 35,000, 40,000 fans. So it's like being in front of a crowd at a concert. This is going to be wild. I'll be down on the field. I'll have some interviews for you. I would get there early if I'm you. I'm not saying rush the gates, do whatever you want to do, but I'm going to go down there, be there by about 4 o'clock. And the thing's going to go, it's going to be practice. And I've been to a lot of practices in Costa Mesa and been over there last night at the headquarters, but this is going to be fun because it's going to be more serious practice. This is an important practice. You only get a handful of practices before you start playing real games. They're going to take this very seriously, but there's going to be a lot of entertainment, videos, content that's going to be out there, giveaways, 50-50 raffles, all of that. So I think you're going to have a good time. The Raiderettes are going to perform. There'll be interviews with players and coaches, photos with Raiderettes and alumni, autographed items, T-shirt tosses. A fun little event tonight, so come on out and see it. Bring the kids. If you get a chance, don't say at the 5 o'clock, I don't want to go. Don't do that to the kids in your neighborhood. Find a kid in your neighborhood and bring them to a Raider practice. They'll remember it the rest of their life. They've never done this before, so this is pretty cool. Everything we do in Vegas seems to be a first. You know, the first time Dana White goes into the Sphere, right? The first time there's the Golden Knights winning a cup. The first time the Raiders play in the regular season. This is the first for practice. Teams don't do this much. Oh, you know who can do this is college schools. You know, you do this at Alabama, you get 60,000 or 50,000. That typically doesn't happen in the NFL, but I think the Raiders are going to knock it out of the park. So your thoughts on that, if you're going, if you're commuting to it. I know some people are driving right now to get here in time. 702-365-9200. Unfortunately, the biggest story in the NFL today is J.J. McCarthy is gone for the year, according to Adam Schefter. Torn meniscus. The team physician, Chris Larson, at the Twin Cities Orthopedic Center in Eagan, revealed a repair was necessary, so he will be gone. And the only game he played so far in the NFL was against the Raiders. He looked pretty good against the Raiders. There's a thread here from Adam Schefter on the bad luck of the Vikings. The Vikings' quarterback misfortune over the past 8 years. 2016, Teddy Bridgewater suffers serious non-contact knee injury before the start of the regular season. 2023, Kirk Cousins ruptures his Achilles in week 8. 2024, first-round rookie J.J. McCarthy suffers a meniscus tear. You look through this, this is a franchise that's had a lot of bad luck at that situation. Sam Darnold will be the quarterback going forward. Raiders 66, always appreciate hearing from you here at the top of the hour. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, thank you very much, JT. Good afternoon.
Thank you.
I kind of like the quarterback carousel. I tend to think that if everything's equal, you go with a guy that's got that intangible, and I think the mobility of Minshew would do it. But I do like your analogy with boxing, that the champ rarely goes down by decision. So it's still up in the air. Can't wait to see this game. Hope everybody has a good time tonight. But, you know, the defense, I knew it would be good, but I didn't think they'd be knocking quarterbacks out in the first preseason game. That's pretty crazy. Yeah. They have but I'd like to go off script just for a minute, JT. That nugget that you dropped last hour with the Raiders being the ninth most valuable team in the NFL, that I don't think people understand historically how great of a thing that is. The Raiders, when they started in 1960, they were an afterthought. It was the Vikings. The Minnesota franchise was the 8th team. They left for the NFL, and the Raiders got the, at the last minute, got a franchise, $25,000 to buy in. After that first year, they had to play in San Francisco, an Oakland team playing in San Francisco. So you can imagine that the turnstiles weren't turning very quickly. They lost $500,000 in 1 year. It was this close to being one and done. The owners were saying, you know, we can't keep doing this. The Raider Nation almost never happened. But thanks to the benevolence of the owner of the Buffalo Bills,
Ralph Wilson.
Yes. He loaned the team $400,000, knowing that in order for this league to survive, it was only going to be as good as the weakest link, which was the Raiders at the time. So he loaned them $400,000. I think they paid it off around 1972. But until 1962, the Raiders played in San Francisco, so they weren't growing money. They kept losing money. And in 62, they built Frank Yule Field, 19,000 capacity. So it took a while for them to make any kind of money at the gates. Al Davis, from the mid-70s until he passed away, was chasing that dream of what we have here in Las Vegas, that stadium with all of the bells and whistles and all of the extra income that comes. He knew back in the 70s that was what is going to be required to compete in the NFL, to get free agents, to pay the players so that they'd want to be on your team. The guy was very, very smart and ahead of his time. And he kept chasing that dream. It didn't happen. And thankfully, Mark was able to make that happen. And so this has been close to 50 years in the making. And the Raiders were, you know, always being in Oakland and being in that terrible stadium, were one of the bottom feeders. And we were in like 28th, 29th position in income. And now to be up there among the top is a kudo to every one of those people that brought that team here to Vegas and made it happen. Thank you guys very much. Mm-hmm. Thank you, JT, for the time.
Yep.
Just wanted to give the new people a little historical look at the humble beginnings that this iconic team came from.
Wow, that was a beautiful phone call. It really is a beautiful phone call, a Raider 66. Saying we don't get a chance to talk to Raider more much, but Raider 66 has filled that void for me on this show with the history of this team. And I've said it, I've been friends with Mark Davis long before he was the owner. Long before Mark was the owner of this team, we were very good friends when he didn't have this wealth and this type of power in the NFL. And I watched as Mark was just, owners didn't respect him. People around the league didn't respect him when he took over for the passing of his father. Okay, my father's still alive. I'm lucky. My dad's 86. I'm not going to take over his accounting firm. If I did, I couldn't do it because my dad's a lot smarter than me, a lot better than me. I could not do it. So I'd have to sell my dad's accounting firm, which he did back in the day, and I wouldn't have been able to handle it. Mark came in, the son of Alan Carroll Davis, and look what he's accomplished in regards to the business side of it. We all know the record. We all know he wants to win. Even the biggest critics of Mark Davis don't criticize his will to win. I don't know anybody who does. Even the ones who don't get him and know him, they don't walk into a room and say, hey, Mark Davis doesn't want to win. Mark does everything to win. He puts his entire life and resources. He's not taking the money out of the organization and buying yachts like Daniel Snyder or Stan Kroenke and traveling the world and spending 3 weeks in Paris for the Olympics. He's putting it all back into his football team. From what I can tell, you know, build a house, buy some cars. I'd do the same thing if I had that type of money. But you got to remember where Mark Davis was when he took over the team for his father and where this franchise was financially. The most important thing for Mark is not money. It's winning. And I'm trying to just remind people that I knew him before all of this wealth from the team and what the team is worth. And he's the same guy. Now, is he different? Does he have to make tough business decisions? Does he have to bring someone in, fire someone, bring some in? That happens with every owner, corporate titan, CEO in the world. And sometimes those decisions are very tough and uncomfortable. But I'm just here to judge the team. There's two ways to judge the team. Well, there's three. Wins and losses is one. Do you win or not? This team wins, but they don't win enough. He'd be the first to talk about it. We're going to have a conversation coming up on the show, Mark and I. Number two, you're judged by the financial strength of your organization. This team is now number nine. Okay, sandwiched in between the Eagles and the legendary Redskins that are now called the Commanders. Think of that. And then the most important thing, I think, for Mark, right up there with winning, is how you treat your alumni and players. And God, did he hit a home run on that from his dad and mom. I always mention Carol Davis, who's with us and has a big role still with the organization for obvious reasons. So that's what Mark Davis does. So when you hear about what's happening here with the money and, oh, the Raiders are doing this, no one wanted to leave Oakland. Nobody's goal was to leave Oakland. Mark was going to Carson. We were going to Carson, California with the Chargers. He lost the vote. And when Mark lost the vote, instead of complaining and banging the table, said the Raiders don't come in third place, he went up to Oakland, regrouped, and then the Vegas opportunity came to him. Came to him, and then Mark put together, with the help of a lot of people, I always mention my friend Mark Bedain, other people involved, the people from back in the day, put together a brilliant roadmap to come to the sports and entertainment capital of the world and build this stadium. Also led by Tommy White and what he did with the 872 laborers, the architects, the vision, the governor at the time, Governor Sandoval, the mayor, Mayor Goodman. Everybody came together because this city wants to do business. Oakland refused to do proper business. Not that Oakland had to take on all this debt and Oakland would go out of business. Politicians get voted in and out of office every 10 minutes, especially coming up this year, right? We got an election year. But the issue is Vegas cared more about bringing in new business, new jobs, new construction, a legendary brand. They saw that and said, we want it here. If you can't figure it out in Oakland because you're politically triggered and your people don't understand the concepts of construction, real estate, egress, transportation, airports, how to get people together, we do it better in Vegas. We'll take the team. And look at it now. It would have been brilliant if the Oakland Raiders were worth almost $7 billion and were thriving in Oakland. It would have been perfect. And I think everybody would have loved it. But the move was to Vegas, and look at what Vegas has been able to do. Pretty incredible, man. Pretty incredible. Someone's going to write a book about it. I don't know many people that know more than me of this story. There's some smarter, a lot of people smarter than me, that's for sure. But I'll tell you something. Someday the book is going to be written on how this team came to this city. And I wasn't there with pom-poms. I've been living here the whole time. I commuted 17 years. 17 years I commuted to Oakland from Vegas or L.A. They just happened to come here because there were a lot of sharp people in this city and this state that wanted the Raiders. Raider Mike. Go ahead, Mike. What's happening?
Dude, you're pulling heartstrings here, man. I watched the 72 to 74 A's straight World Series. Mm-hmm. Killed you. I watched my Raiders move back and forth, all them around. Grew up in Oakland, you know, whatever. It's just, why didn't they do it?
Because they didn't have politicians who were ready to negotiate with the Oakland A's and the Raiders in good faith on the Coliseum property. For a number of reasons, and the A's signed a deal behind the Raiders' back without the Raiders knowing, and the A's should have been on one side of the parking lot, the Raiders on the other side. There should have been redevelopment, construction, housing, restaurants, and it could have cleaned up Oakland, and it could have been the Raiders doing it, and they could not wrap their head around it. Libby Schaaf, the mayors, everybody could not wrap their head around the importance of the Raider brand in Oakland.
I don't get that. Let's move on. Mm-hmm. All right. Guess what? No drama.
Yeah.
How long has it been since there's been no drama?
A few years.
Long time.
A little while.
AP's restored, no drama.
Yeah, there is no drama with AP. None. He won't stand for it.
And quarterback, mm-hmm. I'm torn still. I said this on Vinny's show. It's a 10-9 round. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I'm pushing towards Minshew. I grew up here in Oregon and Oakland, and I saw what Minshew did. He's just a gamer, man, mm-hmm. and he feels like I named him earlier mm-hmm. the Gardner Snake. He's a mini snake. He'll come in. He'll hit you hard. Mm-hmm. He can play, and we got the most vicious defense, I think, since. What, 07 Giants that took Brady out? So that's kind of where I'm at.
All right. Appreciate the call. Thank you, my buddy. Good to hear from you. Look, whoever they pick, I don't want to say I don't care who they pick. I'm not going to say I don't care. Of course I care. I just want to win. So whoever they decide the organization's going to be behind, mostly Antonio Pierce, Tom Telesco, and Luke Getsy. Those are the three. Pick the quarterback. Let us know. If we don't break the news live on Raider Nation Radio, someone else will. Probably Ian Rappaport or Adam Schefter. Someone will have that. Someone will leak it to them, and then we'll do shows on the new quarterback. And then I'll have 2 weeks, roughly 2 weeks, to do some shows on the quarterback. And we'll figure out how that works out. We'll all get behind him, get some remotes going, get out on the town, get some new gear, get ready to do some TV and radio, and start another year here, my 27th year with the team. Proud to be in the seat here, leading into Q, and coming out, hey, the new morning show. Got a new morning show, Vinny Bonsignore, Clay, and Vince Sapienza. You've heard Vince for years on this show. He's sharp. You got a guy who understands sports, really loves sports. So check him out in the morning on the all-new morning show, the morning tailgate on Raider Nation Radio. When we come back, as I prep for the game, I have my board in front of me with the depth at every position. I'm going to dive into that for a little bit. I'm going to do a deep dive on the depth of the Raiders on offense and defense. Want to get ready for the game. And tonight, at the open practice, if you're going tonight, make sure you say hello. Should be a vibrant crowd. As we're brought to you by the M Resort, Spahn Casino. That's the official hotel of the Silver and Black.
Yeah, you know, we've done a lot of things different this year. It's been cool, you know, being able to go to LA for a few weeks, be with the guys. You know, we haven't had any night practices since I've been in the league, and now we're doing that. Just doing things a little bit different, and that's what it's all about. You know, at the end of the day, the goal is the same. Every day we show up with a mindset to improve, and that's literally all we're focused on. So we have a ton of work to do, and just being in front of the fans, and you know, they get to see a little bit of the work we've been putting in is going to be special for sure.
All right, JT, as we continue on, thanks for coming back here on the flagship of the Raiders. Raider Nation Radio, 920 AM, the Raiders mobile app. And as Q reminds us, LV Sports Network and the new app that's up and running there. So there's no excuse not to have this. And what's really cool is we're a flagship station for an NFL team. And when I started with the Raiders in 98, our flagship station was KNBR 1050. Remember that. If you've been around long enough, and I think you have been, a lot of our listeners know that. And that was before the internet. Let that sink in. That was before the internet. So when we started there, there was a radio station, 1050 AM. That was it. And there wasn't a website, and there wasn't live streaming, and there wasn't a phone with a mobile app. So you were on the radio, and I wanted to just to share this story with you. I've been in radio for 27 years. And for years, people say, well, what are your ratings, this and that? I had an 11 share in Boston leading into morning drive and overnights. Fact, I was literally wallpapering the wall that the Boston Globe said, JT the Brick and overnights in Boston. We had over a 10 share to an 11 share. And I never knew what ratings were. And again, I don't talk about it much. We got a big streaming deal now. We stream more than any other show, I think. One of more than any other shows in town. This, that. I've never looked at that and dove into it. It's always been about, for me, I know there's more people listening than what they tell us. That's always been the case. And now we can look at that because we have this phone and this mobile app, and we have the ability that I can take calls. You listen to the show. We get calls from Fort Lauderdale, New Jersey, Wisconsin, the Bay Area, because they're not listening in Vegas on 920 AM. They're listening on the mobile app. We're lucky to have a really good company here in Vegas. Lotus Broadcasting, that puts us out here in Vegas, and you can hear it. And then we count on everybody to stream the show. So I wanted to bring that up here because it's really important that we thank you. I was at practice last night, and I bumped into a fan before I left. And he came up to me, and he goes, JT, I listen every day from noon to two. And I always say the same thing. Well, call in if you can, man. Let us know you're out there. He goes, I can't. I drive a truck, but I'm out there every day. And when I don't hear the show, I listen to the podcast later on that night. I mean, that is an honor for me. I mean, that's just great. I'm sure Q says that, our morning show. If you can't hear the show live and then you're able to listen to it and at your convenience, that's really where this is going. That's where sports radio is going, and it's happened on my watch. Again, as I said, when I was on the Ticket 1050, there was no such thing as a podcast. No one knew what that was. And that wasn't that long ago. When you look back to the end of the 90s, no one knew what the word podcast was because it wasn't invented. Now we have radio shows, and people don't even listen to them live. They listen to them on delay in a podcast. So we got a whole bunch of different ways to listen to the show. LV Sports Network is the newest app there, too. So you got plenty of ways to listen. We're launched now on YouTube. We're going to have a nice announcement on what we're going to be doing with the Raiders on YouTube coming up when the season starts. And I'd appreciate it if you would subscribe at JT the Brick YT. So Vinny's going to be in for me on Friday because Friday, before the game against the Cowboys, we have the production meeting with the head coach. They're probably going to get us a player, Patrick Graham, whoever it is. That's going to be at Raiders headquarters from 12:30 to 2. So Vinny's going to host for me as I'm in there with the head coach. And right here in front of me, you can't see it, but I have my board for the game as I'll be on the radio doing the play-by-play with EA and the great Lincoln Kennedy. And as you build the board and you look at the depth chart of this team, there's a couple of things now that are a little bit concerning, but I think the health of this team overall is pretty good. Knock wood here in my home studio. I think it's pretty good. And then I'm knocking wood as we say this too in front of Bobby here as we get going here at Lotus Broadcasting. So we're hoping that the team stays healthy because around the league, J.J. McCarthy with the meniscus tear, there are other players tearing Achilles, other players getting injured. The Niners canceled their practice down in Orange County because supposedly the numbers 23 players are at least banged up enough that Kyle Shanahan doesn't want to fly down there and do joint practices with New Orleans because guys are dropping like flies. So when I look at the Raiders and what they have lined up here, on the offensive side of the ball, we're waiting for Colt Miller and Jackson Powers Johnson. That is the left side of the offensive line. From all indications, both of them are going to be ready. For all indications, especially Colt Miller coming off of surgery, and he should be able to go, but he hasn't played a lot because of the shoulder surgery. Is that a concern for me? No, because from what I'm hearing, he's okay, and they're bringing him along at a particular process and time, and he's going to be good to go. And he is kind of a durable guy, but the shoulder has been an issue now. And to have the surgery to be better, that's all we care about. Let's have him opening day. But he's getting no reps. He's getting no reps with the first team. Jackson Powers Johnson, again, all indications are he's not coming off a meniscus tear. He's not having a rotator cuff tear. They're bringing him along. He'll be ready to go. But he's missed it all. He's missed it all when it comes to Costa Mesa and this. And when they're going to bring him back, I don't see how he can be ready to be at his best to start the early part of the season, but I could be wrong. And this kid's a good kid, and he's going to be here for a long time, and he's a very important piece. So with Cody Whitehair behind him, a player who was a Pro Bowler in Chicago, and this was a guy in 2018 was a Pro Bowler, he's been a Pro Bowler, he's played at a high level. He can play this position. You can move Whitehair all around, just like you can move Andres Pete all around to left tackle. You can move him inside here. And also, he was a Pro Bowler in 18 through 20. So he's played in some big games and he can play. Fortunately, Tom Telesco with Pete and White here have two durable, pretty good players, not at the peak of their game, but guys you can put in the game and feel comfortable about. Andre James is a very good, young 27-year-old center. Is he a Pro Bowler? No. Can he be a Pro Bowler? Sure. And I covered Barrett Robbins' career. That guy turned into a Pro Bowler. He was elite. And when he came to the Raiders and came to the team, no one was saying this guy's going to be a perennial Pro Bowler or play at that level. And he did. So Andre James, really solid. Dylan Parham, like him a lot. He's 24 years old. This will be his third year out of Memphis. And he was the first pick. You know, remember when Dave Ziegler drafted him because they had to give up a first and second for Devontae. So he felt like he was a high-round pick, and he was, and he's done a nice job. Then you have Thayer Mumford, who's, you know, hand issue, banged up a little bit. Behind him is DJ Glaze, and that, to me, is young, and that's a question mark. I talked to Thayer Mumford about it, played golf with him at the Raiders tournament. He's got a chip on his shoulder. He's only 24 years old out of Ohio State, big-time program, seventh-round pick. He's got to prove it. He's got to be healthy. All accounts are he'll be okay. But again, when he comes out, for any period of time, DJ Glaze comes in. And this guy's 6'4", 323, 22-year-old rookie. Notice with Glaze, I'm saying 22. Thayer Mumford, 24. Dylan Parham, 24. Andre James, 27. Jackson Powers Johnson, 21. Colt Miller, 28. These are all young players. Young players, good guys to build around. But what's the starting offensive line going to look like? Now we move on to the tight end position, where you have Brock Bowers and Michael Mayer. But the guys behind him are pretty good players. Harrison Bryant, Cole Fotheringham, John Samuel Shanker, right? We look at Zach Gentry, the players who have been behind. Some of them will not be here, obviously. Maybe one or two will catch on with another team or go to the practice squad. This tight end room with Mayer, Bowers, and Bryant is pretty good. It's one of the most talked about tight end rooms for young players, not established Pro Bowlers, but young players in the league. And then we go to the wide receiver position with Devontae Adams. Good to see him back after the birth of his son. Jacoby Myers, Trey Tucker, Guyton, DJ Turner, and then the list of guys trying to make the team. You know, Foreman got banged up, and Christian Wilkerson. I like Christian Wilkerson a lot. He's turning into a reliable player. The running back position of Zamir White, Amir Abdullah, Alexander Madison, Dylan Lobby, Sincere McCormick, and Britton Brown. A lot of competition there. Dylan Lobby, I want to see a little bit more of in this game. I want to see what he can do. We get a chance to see him tonight at practice, which will be a lot of fun. And then we get to the quarterbacks, which has been the real big topic this week with Gardner Minshew and Aiden O'Connell. And as we've talked to our guests throughout the show, and what we're trying to figure out here going forward is whoever starts, it's not a popularity contest. Coach Antonio Pierce, Marvin Lewis, the rest of this group, Luke Getsy, Tom Telesco are going to have some really tough conversations about the quarterback. And I don't think the quarterback is going to get the job because he plays well at an indoor practice tonight at Allegiant Stadium. It'd be nice if he did. Or yesterday, where I thought both the quarterbacks were okay. But this game coming up against the Dallas Cowboys is going to be really important to see who has a better game and to see if Gardner Minshew distinguishes himself as a veteran with more experience, and he's better than Aiden O'Connell. And I've been very transparent about Aiden O'Connell. Antonio Pierce helped secure his job as the head coach because Aiden won games down the stretch. And Antonio Pierce was very loyal to Aiden O'Connell, and he might be very loyal to him and let him start the season off. We're going to find out here just in a matter of days. So I wanted to dive into the offense here because it's really important to understand that this is a very good offense. And if Colt Miller was completely healthy and Jackson Powers Johnson was completely healthy and JBJ had a great camp, I think we'd be a lot more excited about the future of this team because we would have saw the left side of the offensive line. We would have saw the chemistry, the mistakes, and, you know, learning from some of the mistakes and getting better here, but we didn't see any of it. And with Thayer Mumford, you know, he's had some decent practices, been banged up a bit. DJ Glaze seems to be a player that's going to have a big role with the Raiders in years to come. Will he be put in earlier, sooner than later, if he outplays Mumford or Mumford's banged up and can't go? That's it. I wanted to go through the offense here really quickly, and one more player who's on the offense, Daniel Carlson, who's an offensive player. He's a scorer, the leading scorer for the Raiders and a weapon for this team. A.J. Cole flips the field. He's a punter. He's 28 years old. Daniel Carlson's 29. These guys are in the prime of their career, man. I was not impressed with Anthony Brown Jr. or Carter Bradley with their performance in Minnesota. Bring in Nathan Peterman. Whoever you take as the third-string quarterback, I don't lose a second of sleep on that. Whoever is the third-string quarterback. And the defensive side, as I flip my card here and I look at the defensive side, it'll be very interesting to see the depth of these defensive backs coming up here because DeCamrion Richardson, number 25, the rookie out of Mississippi State, he's going to get a really good look coming up here because we know Jack Jones is the real deal. Ja'Corian Bennett is going to get a chance to do some good things. But what about the other side with Brandon Faison? Who's going to be able to step up and prove that they can play that position and play it at a high level? Because we need corners, and there's still corners available in free agency that haven't been signed. And I really believe that the Raiders have to take a look at that. MJ Devonshire as a nickelback. Woo Governor. Nate Hobbs is clearly the player there at 25 years old in his fourth year coming into a contract year. I'm a big fan of Isaiah Palamal, He can play. He's a ball hawk. Third year out of USC. Another guy just 25 years old. Jadon Grant looks good so far. Phelan Sanford is a guy who's competing really hard. A rookie out of Nebraska. 24 years old here. But it's Trayvon Merrig. And it's clearly going to be Trayvon Merrig. And Marcus Epps as your safeties on the back end. Nate Hobbs. Jack Jones. And as of now, I would think pretty much Ja'Cory Bennett, unless something big changes. The linebacker position is Divine Diablo and Robert Spillane. That's it. Masterson still got to prove a lot more to me. I think he's an okay player. Muaga, Bernie's there. Amari Bernie, second year out of Florida. I think he's looked good. Tommy Eichenberg didn't travel to the last game. Rookie out of Ohio State. But if they're going to play nickel and leave Divine Diablo and in Robert Spillane, got to keep Diablo healthy this year in Spillane. They can't come off the field. Divine Diablo has to take the next step. Okay, he's got to take the next step. We said that about Trayvon Merrig last year. Didn't we all say that? And he did. Now, for me, a spotlight goes on Divine Diablo. 6'3", 223 to 25 pounds, whatever it is. He's a freak athlete. Now he's got to start playing like a freak. Got to get something out of this guy, man. Linebackers in this league are playmakers. They fly around sideline to sideline. Diablo has shown us that he can do this. Can he do it consistently? Don't know. He looks the part, but he's got to play the part. And then finally, the defensive line, one of the best in all of football, Max Crosby, John Jenkins on the inside with Christian Wilkins, Malcolm Kuntz on the outside. Malcolm Kuntz, 8 sacks, 43 tackles, 9 tackles for losses. What an important piece for the Raiders this year. Fourth year. Again, another contract year guy along with Nate Hobbs. He's got to play well. I like the way Janarius Robinson played. I thought he was very active in Minneapolis. But the key has been Adam Butler and Matthew Butler on the inside. And then Tyree Wilson. Had a long talk with Matt Millen about Tyree Wilson. Tyree Wilson has got to get better here at getting off the snap count and getting off the ball. Figure it out, Tyree. Great young prospect. Kevin Durant plus 200 pounds. We can move him inside, which is what it seems like is going to happen under this regime. They're going to move Tyree Wilson inside. Keep your hands up, Tyree. If you don't get to the quarterback, just be Durant. Be Joel Embiid. Go out there and be Rudy Gobert and knock a ball or two down and show that you can get off the ball when the ball is snapped quickly. He has not shown that. That is concerning to me. That's something that should have been fixed. That's something that needs to be fixed, is the ability of Tyree Wilson to explode off the snap. That has to happen. He was taken number seven overall for Tyree. He's been under the tutelage of the great Max Crosby, one of the best players in the league. Came in Max top 10, number 10, with the NFL's top 100 players. I mean, Tyree's got to figure this out this year because Malcolm Kuntz is ahead of him, and Tyree Wilson should have been ahead of Malcolm Kuntz. Love that defensive line and the depth all the way to Nestor Jade Silvera, Byron Young. There's a lot of depth, man, on this Raiders defensive line. When you talk about cutdowns and decisions that are going to have to be made, those are some big decisions. The defense, the offense looks good to me. Really does. We got the depth, as I talked about, on the offensive line. If some of the offensive linemen go down, there's good depth there with former Pro Bowlers, good players. DJ Glaze, who can come in and play. Plenty of tight ends and wide receivers. Wide receiver depth, I don't care about the 6th wide receiver. I don't care. We have Brock Bowers. Brock Bowers is my number 3 or 4 wide receiver. I'm not calling Brock a tight end. I'm calling him a hybrid. But the Raiders have a very good roster. They do. But it's coming down to Gardner Minshew and Aiden O'Connell. And the rest of the league, which is the coaches, the general manager, and the players, and the media, will not give the Raiders respect until Antonio Pierce announces the starting quarterback. The Raider Nation gets behind him. We get behind this quarterback and hope for the best in these first two games against the Harbaugh brothers on the road. That's 17 minutes of depth right there, everybody. That's your depth chart. That's what we have here. If I missed anything on a player that you want to get into on, the card's right here in front of me, and we can get going at 702-365-9200. Have a Tito's this weekend. Always drive responsibly when we take a look at all of our beverage and spirits partners. Tito's is our brand new partner. What an American success story. As you have your Tito's and you look around and you make your choice, remember, Tito's is now a proud partner of this show and Raider Nation Radio. More from you. As tonight, I'm excited. I'll be on the sidelines. I'll have a microphone. Supposedly 35, 40,000 fans. We'll see. I'll believe it when I see it. I know the number is going to be big. Wave down to me. I'll wave back up to you. I'm excited about tonight. An open practice for Raider fans. And from what people are telling me, nothing confirmed. I think this is the largest Raiders practice of all time. I believe it is. Maybe I'm forgetting one. I don't know. But I don't remember a Raiders practice having over 30, 35,000 fans or more. So we'll have something really big to talk about tomorrow as we continue. This is the flagship of the Silver and Black, JT, right here in studio with Bobby, Lotus Broadcasting and Raider Nation Radio.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great deal. I mean, you get a different type of feeling when you walk in on that, you know, that field in Allegiant. So I know guys will be in the locker room feeling like it's a game before, even though it's not. But it's hard not to have that feeling when you walk in that building and see all those fans and see how fired up everybody is for the season. So that'll be fun.
Devontae is back, and he's right about that. Whenever the Raiders get into the locker room, I was in the locker room last night at the headquarters, and you know, you get into a professional locker room is one thing. You have one at the team headquarters, right? You could have one in Napa or Costa Mesa. They built a nice one out there for training camp. But when you get into the team locker room in Vegas at Allegiant Stadium, it's as good as it gets in any locker in the world. I'm talking about Manchester United, Liverpool. Go anywhere around the world that they have a huge stadium, a global stadium, and the Raiders' home locker room is pretty ridiculous. So if you're going to get on there and the trainers get you ready and they tape you up, and you're going to come out, be introduced, you're going to take it seriously tonight. These are the type of practices that the fans should enjoy because you're going to get to see your team and your players. But the players have got to take it seriously because they don't have an infinite number of snaps. And when I was in Costa Mesa, there were a lot of snaps that weren't productive. They just weren't. Fade back, tipped at the line of scrimmage. You don't get that do-over. Maybe you can run it again, but if you have a certain amount, 800 reps or whatever, that's one that didn't work. And many more that, not many more, but some that didn't work. So you're going to have reps tonight. Out routes, in routes, you know, handoffs. You got to make these reps work because those are the reps that the Chargers are running and the Ravens are running. You only get a few of them. Take advantage of it tonight. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Limon and Henderson, it's been a while, man. How you been?
Man, good. What's up, JT? How you guys doing?
All man? Good, man. You?
Good. Listen, man. You know what I've been thinking? I've been thinking a lot of stuff about my Raiders. Mm-hmm. You know, like you, you know, I'm a PSL too. And, you know, mm-hmm. I see things a different way now. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, I'm not just a fan, but, you know, it's like, come on, you know, I want to win now more than ever. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But, looking at the new players, you know, going with a running back, Dylan. I mean, I was paying attention to that kid, and you know what? We got two, you know, good, solid running backs, you know, including him. You know, I think it's gonna be you know, I mean, defense we're good, offense we're good. But
this Zamir White, let me tell you, this Zamir White could have a big year. I'm not saying he's going to. He's got to have a big year. He's got to have well over 1,000 yards, man. 1,000 yards is nothing anymore. They play, you know, 17 games. He's got to have a big year for us.
No, I do understand, but sometimes, you know, he's got to go out and take a breather.
Mm, yeah.
And, you know, this kid can come out, you know, and, you know, give him a good, you know, a good push too. But I was thinking about the quarterbacks, you know. I'm thinking, and you know, the last caller, you know, he did got me on that. On, you know, it's like, you know, it's like a boxing match. Right now, you know, 10-9, 9-10, you know. Mm-hmm. But I was thinking, what if going into, because you know, Big O, you know, he went to
Lamon. Who do you want to be the quarterback? I got to wrap it up. Who's your choice for the quarterback?
For the quarterback, I want to count.
Okay, thank you, my friend, and I will talk to you soon. Hope to see you tonight. Okay, I got to get to the choice. The show's running out of time. You want Aiden O'Connell, I'm fine with that. You want Gardner Minshew, I'm cool with that. I don't care. I want to win. Whoever gives you the better chance to win. But this has been a big topic. I did not shoot too early with it. I did not go with this. You did not hear this topic on my show in May and June. You didn't, because I didn't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about this because they're going to name the starter Sunday, and then I'm going to talk about it constantly. So I wasn't going to spend the summer doing this. I'm not going to spend the summer talking about the fifth and sixth wide receiver. I don't care. I care about Devontae, Jacoby Myers, Trey Tucker. The other guys, of course I care about them. I want them to have great careers and have long careers. But this team's got to win with stars. Their superstars have to elevate even higher. Devontae and Max got to get better. Everybody's got to play at a higher level this year. I went through that depth chart. They got to play at a higher level. Like the level of cigars at La Casa Cigars. Tivoli Village, the walk-in humidor, over 500 cigar labels. Had a Cuban. Mike took care of me. Okay, I'm not telling you where it came from and how I got it, but I had it, and it was fantastic. My wife sees in the summer I like to smoke a cigar in the pool, watch the game, watch a Yankee game in the distance, and do that, man. Soto hit three home runs last night. Yeah, Soto hit three home runs last night. La Casa Cigars and Lounge at Tivoli Village, online at lacasacigars.com. They got live music every night, which is a lot of fun, so if you want to go do that. Announcement coming up with Grimaldi's Pizzeria as we're welcoming new partners here, and we got to launch our new relationship with Virgin, as Virgin is back here, where you'll find me all the time, and they did something cool with their pools. They moved their pools around in regards to where you can go, how you can get in their pools, if you're a guest staying at the hotel, if you want to buy a wristband and go in there, and I would highly recommend that. Devontae spoke to the media, and I thought that was pretty cool. Devontae talked about missing time during training camp. He missed a little bit as his son was about to be born. Here's what he said.
Well, yeah, I mean, but that's only one part of it. Obviously, you know, you got to do what you got to do when it comes to family and obviously your children. But anytime you have to miss some time during camp at this point in the year, it's not the most comfortable feeling. But we got to get back to work. And obviously having some familiarity with the scheme, it helps me, eases my mind knowing, you know, I've done it all before. And but still being able to get those reps. So we're going to hit it hard, making sure we, you know, make up for any lost time.
Yeah, Devontae's a businessman. He's all business. He could be away from the team. He didn't miss much. Get everybody else involved. Devontae knows what routes in the scheme he is running. But playing during the preseason is something he doesn't do much of, and I'm fine with that.
I mean, I'm sure we'll have some sort of conversation, but I don't think I've played in a preseason game since 16. So, I mean, we practice the right way. We go about it and get on the same page with the quarterbacks. And obviously a little bit of, you know, a few reps could help. But just based off of the risk, it's not on my mind. It's something that I'm looking forward to. I look forward to the games to, you know, watch the guys go at it and watch the team get better and all the things that go in with that. But definitely not. If I'm choosing, I'm not playing.
Ooh, I like that. No need. No, we don't need you, Devontae, in the preseason. We don't. I'm fine with that. There's only a handful of players on this organization who shouldn't play in the preseason. A handful of them. And he's one. He's at the top of the list. Good with that. What about Brock Bowers? He saw a lot of Brock Bowers in Costa Mesa, and when he came in as a rookie, what does Devontae think?
Well, first, I told him we were crossing paths yesterday, and I had to let him know because, you know, y'all and people on TV, you see, you know, that little one step or slant that he caught across the middle, you know, low like that. You see a play like that and you kind of just look at it as a routine catch, which it should be. And that's kind of how we look at it. But those are not easy, especially as your first grab in the league. So to have a ball kind of at your knees while you're on the run back inside and catch it and, you know, make a guy miss kind of on that. And, you know, I was proud of him. So I had to kind of give him a little positive reinforcement on that. But the businessman don't really need to hear from me. He's already locked in and ready to go. So proud of him for that, too.
It's amazing. He gave him the nickname the businessman, which is great because Brock Bowers doesn't speak much. He doesn't. He's not going to speak much. And Big Mike, we had Michael Mayer on. He jumped out on the screen on our YouTube feed. We got a few reels on that. That was a lot of fun. Brock is there to play. He's all ball. That's the term. That should be his nickname, all ball, because that's what he is, all football. Thanks to Bobby for putting the show together. We had a murderer's row in that first hour. Jason Horowitz, Vinny Bonsignor, Bill Williamson. Q's coming up next. He'll be out also at practice, and you'll see him everywhere, as always. Check him out for the next 3 hours. New morning show with Vin Sapienza, Clay, and Vinny. I encourage everybody listening to that. Some new partnerships that we have that'll be announcing before football season. And I'll see you tonight down on the field, and hopefully I see you in the stands. My wife's going to be there. A couple of friends are going. We're bringing some friends with us. Looking to have a nice time tonight. Hopefully it's fun. Everybody gets the reps in, stays healthy. There's some giveaways, some fun, some alumni. And I'm looking forward to seeing what happens at Allegiant Stadium in a couple short hours from now. See you out at Allegiant, everybody. Have a great night.
Appreciate it. Thank you, guys.